Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. On today's Glamour podcast, I'm joined by Glamour's Leanne Bailey and award-winning author Sophie Kinsella, and we are going to sort out so many life problems for you that you're going to know that everything is hey, okay. Hello, Glamour listeners. It's so great for you to join us again for another edition of Glamour Hey, It's Okay. Today, I am joined by Glamour's content editor. We're so modern, we have a content editor. Leanne Bailey, hello.
Hello, hi.
Another little podcast virgin. I like to break them all in. And joined today also the award-winning author, Sophie Kinsella.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
It's such a treat.
Do you know what? I was very reassured because I'd lost count of how many books you have written. And then we've just discovered that you have actually lost count.
Yeah,
we got the number.
We reckon it's 23. Yeah.
23.
We've done an audit.
And the new book, My Not So Perfect Life, is that 24 or is that 23?
I reckon that's 23, but now you're putting me on the spot.
It's a test.
Oh my God.
Everything in life is a test.
That's right. It's all about the numbers.
Yeah. And so how did you feel writing that final book?
Exactly. I'm done now. 23 and you're out. Yeah. Do you know, it was a real joy to write this book because it's got so much in it that I wanted to say about modern life, about social media, about trying to be perfect. And
that's the thing, it's very themed around that that FOMO feeling that we all have.
We all have that. I have it all the time.
Yeah, well, I think it's in us all, and it's probably always been there, but modern life sort of exacerbates it because we have images thrust at us all the time of other people's lives, and we measure ourselves more than I think we did, and we look at our lives and we judge them. You know, we watch interiors programs and they like, well, that has to go and that has to go. And so we look at our own flat and think, oh no.
It's so interesting because I know there's often the charge that beautiful models in magazines make people feel miserable, but I'm telling you, it's people's beautiful homes in interiors magazines that make me really depressed.
Oh, me
no
too.
No one's getting up in arms about that.
No, sleek, lovely kitchens, slimline. I mean, there's a kitchen problem, isn't there?
I don't believe it. It's like, do some people actually have that environment to live in?
Wardrobes all the time. Like, how do people have these most amazing wardrobes? I'm like, oh, I need some shelf action like that.
No. Well, actually, in the light of this book, I started this Instagram feed, My Not So Perfect Life, and people have been posting reality, and it's just so refreshing, like an untidy playroom or an umbrella being broken by the wind. Or I put a load of onions in the oven, thinking I'll do kind of glazed onions like they do in the magazines, and I forgot about them and they came out like lumps of coal. So I was like, but it was a plus. I was like, okay, I can post these on my other Instagram page where things don't have to be glossy and perfect. It was actually quite therapeutic.
Was there any particular image on social media that was thrust into your life that inspired the book? Was there any light bulb moment you thought, I've got to write about this?
Do you know, no, I think it's just the stream and the realization that it's taken something that was in us anyway. And what's interesting about my heroine is that it's not just actually the social media that freaked her out. It's looking at other people. She's come to London, and I think that's a big thing in the book, that she's fantasized about London. It's her dream life. She's kind of managed to get herself on the bottom rung of the ladder, and she projects, and I think we can all do this. So she looks at her boss in particular. She has this amazing, glamorous, older female boss, and she looks at her and basically thinks, yeah, you have the perfect life. Mm. She sees her professional facade. She sees the clothes, the house, you know, the job, the power, the connections. And she just assumes that the entire picture must be happy and perfect. Yeah. And the book is the relationship between this younger girl and this older woman. And it's more about these two women than it is really a love story or anything like that. And it's quite a lot about office politics and sort of power struggles. And she gets to know her through plot machinations. Mm. No spoilers. But she gradually learns that this Uber woman has got her own issues, and that everybody does. And that, I mean, there's a character in the book who says, whoever put out the rumour that life should be perfect is a very wicked person. And I think that's what she learns. But it takes her time.
But who did put out the rumour? I think it's just something we all did to ourselves. It's, you know, it comes about that thing that I was thinking, that people think of happiness as a destination. Once I've got this, once I've got the car, once I've got the job, once I've got into that pair of jeans, then I'll be happy.
Exactly.
And there's no such place where everything's amazing.
No. Yeah. I mean, you know, it all sounds trite, you know, want what you have, but there is something in it. And I think it starts when we're little and we're at school. And of course, we're all striving to get, you know, good marks, and these messages are drummed into us. Try, achieve, achieve. And that's fine, but not if you apply it to life, because life will be life. You know, you can't just work hard and get 100% in life. That's never going to happen, and you'll be miserable if that's what you think it is.
But a lot of people would be looking at your life and thinking, she's uber powered, she's connected, she's got the fabulous wardrobe, she's got the fabulous career. Were you just lucky enough that you always knew what you wanted to do, or how did it come about that you have become
Uber author? I have been incredibly lucky to find what I wanted to do.
It's only women who always say that. It's only women who say, oh, I was lucky.
I will say I also made choices. Mm. You know, I mean, I have chosen to write lots of books and also to have lots of children. But
yeah,
I don't
you've got
have,
five
I have
children,
five children.
Right? Well, no wonder you forgot about the onions, babe.
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you. But you know what? My Achilles heel is sort of save hobbies, and people go, yeah, oh, I've got this amazing project I'm doing in my spare time. And I'm like, spare time? What?
What's that?
So that's my thing.
But see, I have one child and I don't have any spare time.
No.
Do you drug your children and just sit them in a corner? I don't know how old they are. But
well, I had them very spread out. I had them in batches. I could only cope with them in batches. I had two and a 7-year gap and another one and a 4-year gap and two more.
See, Leanne doesn't have children. No. This is like you left a long enough gap to forget just how chaotic it was.
Yes, that was my mistake.
Yeah.
Why do I have no spare time? That's what I'm really confused about now.
Well, I do. I remember that. I don't remember what I used to do before I had a child.
I used to watch telly. Oh, I miss that.
Actually,
I miss watching, just sitting down in the evening and saying, you know what, I'll just watch telly all night and I don't even care what's on.
Do you know what our secret shame was pre-children? Was to lie in bed hungover every Sunday and not get out until Hollyoaks was over. And that was like 12:30.
Yes, breakfast in bed and just rubbish TV.
Oh, no, no
on.
Breakfast. No, that was too much effort. No, just lie there.
The pizza at 3 p.m. if there's a hangover.
Yeah, I know. And so what's next on the horizon for you? You're promoting your book at the moment.
Promoting my book. Yes, it's all about that. And then I'm also writing another one to come out next year. So always busy. But, you know, it's fun. It's good. I love it.
What I wanted to talk about is, Sophie, is we talk about on this podcast, we try to set many life dilemmas to rights. I'm not sure how successful we are. We quite often have raging rows in features meetings, and quite often we do on the podcast as well.
But excellent.
And taking up your theme of nobody's perfect, do you think it's okay? Hey, is it okay to be really untidy? I will put not one hand up. You can't see podcasts. So I've got my two hands up to admit I am so messy, particularly at home. I try, but one day, when you hear that my husband's died, it will be because he's tripped over a pair of my shoes and fallen down the stairs. And he, you know, I'm terrible. It's almost like an amnesia, I think. Again, because I've got too much to do. Sort of things get left where they're dropped. No interiors magazines ever come into my house. What about you?
I'm exactly the same.
I don't believe you.
Oh, my goodness.
I need to check out this Instagram account.
Listens to this, he's really going to laugh. No. See, on my Instagram account, it's all tidy. And I've got all these lovely shots of me working at my desk. But, you know, I'm not going to show the real squalor that exists. So I sort of scoop it all away and sit at a nice tidy desk and sit up straight. Also, this is a fabrication. But the reality is, it's almost a superstition with me. I start a book and stuff starts to mount up because I often plan with file cards. So there'll be file cards in a great pile. There'll be notes. There'll be this. And it's almost like I can't tidy it away until I finish the book.
See, I sell myself the myth that I'm being really, really creative.
Yes, you know, let's go with that.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's like, you know, I can't possibly think of wild, great ideas for the magazine if all I'm doing is tidying my desk.
No, and also there's a kind of context. I find it's like a memory map. You sit down at your desk and the sight of that weird crumpled post-it reminds you of that thing you thought of yesterday.
Mm.
And if it all got cleared away, this is why I couldn't do hot desking. I would desking. You know?
No, I think that's another one of the modern inventions of Satan,
yeah.
The hot desk.
How do people remember anything? Because I remember stuff. I sit down and it's like this visual little map of stuff impinges on me.
I need somewhere to keep my tampons, man. It's got to be in my desk. Do you know what I mean?
Have they thought that through, actually?
I don't know. No. Are you supposed to just carry around your tampons and your toothpaste in it? I don't know.
Actually, I had a friend who worked somewhere and she wasn't allowed a bin. No one was allowed a bin because you weren't supposed to have anything that would require being thrown away.
Oh, that is hardcore.
Yeah,
I do know one major fashion house who operates a similar kind of policy. And it's like, you know, and I hear stories about people just spending a lot of effort every day just keeping their space tidy because they get disciplined if
but
they don't.
How many hours do they spend on this?
I don't know.
Isn't it a waste of time? And
I think so. That said, it's nice. It must be nice to be those people who immediately know where their P60 is to file their tax return. And, you know, I mean, things like that. I had a driving test. Long story. I had to have a driving test. And I had the driving instructor waiting outside to take me to the test at 6:30 in the morning. And I could not find the apparently essential bit of green paper that I needed to take to this test.
Oh, God.
Screaming, crying, throwing the house apart. I did find it. But so...
Oh, I'm totally with the whole clean desk, clean mind. Like, I have to tidy my desk. Well, okay, Joe, my desk isn't tidy all the time, but there are moments of when I really need to, like, buckle down. If my desk is tidy, I feel a lot more peaceful about doing work. No? Yeah. Is it just me?
Well, I think at the beginning of a project, I'm with you. But when I'm in the throes of it, that for me is a priority. And actually, to be honest, everything else in my life goes when I'm in a book. I mean, it's not just the desk, it's the whole house and it's the cooking and it's remembering, you know, which child needs rugby kit. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, tidy desk gets pushed way down.
Can you not get some of your kids to look after some of the other kids?
You would think.
I mean, there's so many of them.
You would think. I have four boys and then a girl.
Oh, well.
And
then.
I think possibly if I had a sort of stream of girls, they might be sort of have motherly instincts towards the little ones. But as it is, not so much, no.
No, you need to beat some feminism into those strapping lads.
Exactly.
But have either of you, Marie Kondo'd your house or attempted?
I've started the book and I'm so into it, but I haven't yet realised what sparks me joy yet. I need to do the big declutter, but there's too much time. I haven't got time to do the declutter, and that's the first phase.
I mean, I do like spark joy as a phrase,
yes.
And I think there is a truth to it, that things can spark joy.
See, my problem is all my things spark joy for one reason or another. And I would have to quit my job and spend the next 18 months decluttering my house. And I parted company with Marie when she told me that my socks were sad for being in a ball. When I got to the point where the socks are upset being rolled in a ball instead of placed parallel to each other, it's like, I'm done. I actually can't give this book any more validation.
I got as far as you have to take everything carefully out of your bag and thank it for what it's done for you in the
thank
day.
Thank you, hairy toffee.
You know, and I was just sort of, do I have that time in my day? Don't think I do, actually. But nevertheless, I do like the idea of, you know, being a bit ruthless and looking at that jacket, which you just know deep down was a huge mistake.
Oh,
and I've
but
just got
so it
many.
Might come back
it might
into
come
fashion.
Back. This is true.
Look, it might come back. You just don't know.
Well, it's true, and I have been caught out. You know, I threw away all this Fair Isle stuff once.
You
and the next year, Fair Isle was the hugest thing.
Come to the messy dark side with me. There's a lot of joy there, I promise.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is it okay, guys, to live your life with a celebrity role model? Like, you know, in the olden days, people were guided by the Bible, perhaps.
Mm.
Today, I feel like celebrity culture is sort of a new religion. And do you think that people are genuinely, like the way they might have looked at their horoscopes, thinking, well, in this situation, this is what Jennifer Aniston did, so this is what I'm going to do? What do you guys think?
I think that we do it, but I think we actually use these celebrities to reaffirm what we deep down believe and know. Mm-hmm. So with me, I mean, I was thinking about this. Who would I pick? Michelle Obama, I would pretty much look up to and think, yes, Michelle Obama, what you did, I will do, whether it's being dignified or whether it's being feminist or whether it's having, you know, great arms because you work out every day. The truth is, I don't really know Michelle Obama. I don't have any evidence that she thinks this or that.
It's but true, sort we of, feel like we do that,
I've
don't we?
Projected onto yeah. her, but I feel like I'm taking the best bits of what I know about her and just using it as a bit of like inspiration. And I think that's okay, as long as I don't now believe that I know her and she's my best friend.
See, but it's so funny you say that, actually, because I was just about to launch into, no, I don't care, I would never look at what a celebrity does and sort of like use it as my life guide. But I kind of do have a raging platonic crush on Michelle Obama.
So
you've brought up the one example where it's like, yeah, if I could be like Michelle Obama. The only thing we've got in common is a love of J.Crew, I think. It's like, you know, that's how I feel aligned.
That will take you a long way, though.
Yeah.
And great arms, Joe.
Great arms. Yeah. I think hers are slightly, I wouldn't like to be put in an arm wrestle against Michelle. I know who'd come off second best there.
But don't we all feel like we know her? Yeah. I mean, this is where it gets, you know, a little bit worrying, where we look at them and sort of take three things and then build that into a whole personality.
I'm not often reassured by celebrities. I mean, you know, speaking again of social media culture and FOMO, you know, the surest way to feel inadequate for me is to spend a lot of time looking at celebs on yet another Mexican glamorous holiday or, you know, things like that. The only time that I felt reassured that I remember was Kylie Minogue saying something about her beauty secret was just getting her makeup artist to slather her entire body in makeup. I just thought, I love you for saying that, because, you know, at almost the same age as Kylie and sort of blotchy of skin, I just thought, oh, thank you for just telling the truth about that, you know. But
well, exactly. And I think that's why it's all the more powerful when they do open up and admit that they're tired or that they find, you know, being away from their family really hard when they're on the film set. I think it counts for more, because you see this amazing life and you think, well, nothing can possibly be wrong. And then when they say it, you're like, oh, it's okay. If you find these things hard, then I'm certainly allowed to. So that can be good.
Well, that's why I love Chrissy Teigen, because she's so honest about everything she does, whether it's her, you know, her stretch mark, her cellulite, the fact that she's not wearing any makeup and looks terrible today. Like, I do really like it when they're really honest.
Do you think, I don't know, with Chrissy, I love Chrissy Teigen, she's endlessly entertaining, but is it honest or is that just her brand? Do you know what I mean? It's like there's a fine line, I think. So I don't know if I'd live my life by the way Chrissy Teigen does. Not that I could, but she's, I don't know, I think she's one of the new breed, I think, who's sort of like very bombastic and loud and honest in inverted quest? I don't know.
Well, what is honest these days? Yeah. You know, the makeup-free selfie, but it's jolly well lit, isn't it? And it's taken
well,
from
exactly. A... And you know, some of them have been honest about the fact that that off-the-cuff selfie took about 50 attempts. You know, so I don't know. I don't know whether I'm trying hard. You've done it with Michelle, but I'm trying hard to think of a celebrity who I think, yeah, I really want to be like that, because I can't be like any of them, so I kind of discount it to begin with.
Well, they've all got like how-to guides on how to be them, like them. Like Kate Hudson's got a book, and Lauren Conrad's got a book, and Gwyneth Paltrow has got famously the whole Goop thing.
Yeah.
So you can read off on how to be like them if you really want.
And people must do.
They do, and I will admit to have followed some of these recipes. I followed a Gwyneth one once. It cost me about £100 to make one small snack.
And did you feel closer to Gwyneth in that moment? I
did feel maybe I'll get radiant. You know, maybe this will make me radiant, because look at all these pictures. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing. We know that it's all just posed and lovely, but we fall for it. And I think there's a bitterness that just viscerally responds to these images and believes them.
It kind of disturbs me to think that then maybe there were a legion of disciples out there who went, oh my God, that's an amazing idea. I'm going to go and get my vagina steamed. Do you remember she famously wrote about there was some sort of steam cleaning technique? Sounded extremely painful
to me. I feel like that might have been just one step too far.
Just a tad.
I mean, did we read anybody online saying, I've just done it too? I didn't notice that. You know, you see people saying, I've just made these amazing muffins, but have we seen that? I haven't come across it.
I guess, you know, points for putting it out there. But yeah, I don't know. I've struggled to think of, I think with me, I just try to do the best I can every day. I find it difficult enough comparing my life to just my circle of friends on Facebook who seem to be getting it better than me. So I can't actually take in looking at what a celebrity does in their everyday and comparing myself to that. So I just discount myself from it altogether in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know Victoria from In The Throw, the blogger?
Yes. Hi, Victoria.
Hello, Victoria. Yeah. She recently posted about how you should unfollow the people that don't make you happy. And I actually kind of believe that I need to do a little bit of a cull.
Oh, who doesn't make you happy? Are you going to name and shame?
Am I going to name and shame? I just think it's a lot of these, you know, Instagram stars who are lying on yachts looking all beautiful, and I'm just in the office, which I love, by the way, Jo.
Yeah, but, it's the best there's nowhere better, especially in the depths of January.
Have you posted yourself lying in your office going, woohoo, look at me? I mean
that's what I'm going to do straight after this.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. She did just have a seriously annoying holiday too. Right? Was it Morocco?
Mauritius.
Mauritius, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
I read your book and I loved it.
Oh, you're so nice. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we all just fall for it, don't we? And do they post the grotty pictures of them struggling through the airport when their bag's been lost? And no, I mean, this is the trouble.
Well, in fairness, I'm not going to do that either.
Well, no, but then we're all just, you know, relaying the edited highlights the whole time. It's like just watching a constant trailer and never seeing the meat and, you know, the reality.
Just a quick note, everybody, to say we are loving getting your feedback via iTunes. Please do subscribe, search Glamour Hey It's Okay on iTunes, and leave a review, and you may end up with your review not only read out on the podcast, but actually ending up in your reward in a little glamour package from me personally. So do that. This one, I feel like I'm opening a particular elven can of worms here. That's a lovely phrase, isn't it? Come round for dinner. So it's, is it okay to be oversensitive? Now, obviously, I think we'd all say it's not really okay, is it? It's quite damaging, but plenty of us are.
Mm.
Double hands up again. I am terrible for reading into everything that everybody says and somehow assuming it's some sort of slight against me. And it sort of always feels like really weak to even admit that. You're nodding along, Sophie. I'm hoping you're going to agree with
me. Yeah, no, I mean, I completely relate, and I've done it my whole life. You know, my speciality is always coming away from what's been a lovely dinner party and then analysing the whole thing on the way home and thinking, wait, when I said that, did they give me a funny
yes,
look?
Yes, especially if you add alcohol. Oh,
yeah.
Dear. Yeah.
You know, did they take that the wrong way? Yes. Have I hurt that person? My husband just sits there going, what? What? What are you on?
And I do think it is a particularly female tendency that sort of like overthinking, overanalyzing.
Yeah, that perfectionist trait.
Yes.
Again, could I have... I mean, being a novelist is the worst because then you go back and edit what you should have said.
Yes.
And but you can't do that in real life. And you just have to think, no, it's fine. I mean, I actually had what's called cognitive behavioral therapy.
Oh, no, this is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was for anxiety. I got very anxious about my children in a sort of really quite extreme way. So I went to see this lovely lady. And what was interesting is she gave me this sheet of what's called unhelpful thought patterns. And you know how we would just think we're really unique? Well, honestly, I was like, oh, yeah, I do that. I do that. I do that. Okay, I'm not so unique. I'm just another person with messed up thinking. And one of them was mind reading.
Right.
Where you look at people and you think, oh, I bet they think that.
Oh my God, it's so true.
Yeah.
It's the same. We've talked on this podcast before about the imaginary arguments I have in my head with people. And then in my head, I answer and I get really annoyed about the things that I've imagined that they've said that they've never said. And I think it's the same kind of ballpark.
Yes. Yeah. That's really funny. Do you then feel really cross with that person when you see them?
Yeah.
Like when you dream about someone and they did something really awful.
And I have to remind myself that they did not say the thing that was the argument in my head.
Yeah. But it's a very difficult habit to get out of. If you've started this negative thinking, then you just believe it. And you then you never question it. You don't ever think, wait, my brain may not be doing a really sensible thing right now. You just go with the flow and it can get worse and worse.
So what techniques have helped you with that? One thing that somebody told me ages ago was it's really, not only is it none of your business what other people are thinking, that's quite a liberating thing in a way, but also it's quite arrogant to think that, to walk away from a conversation and think that everything that was said has somehow a reflection on you and somehow about you. Do you know? So that's kind of helped me a lot with that thought process.
I think it's stepping to the side, looking at your own thoughts with a bit of dispassion and sort of not buying into them, but just saying, that's interesting. I'm feeling really freaked out about this person. Let's just look at if that is really true or not true. But also critically, not judging yourself, not lurching then straight into, oh, I'm just too sensitive. You know, I'm so rubbish. I should just be more robust. Why do I think like this? Just allow yourself to have had that reaction and think, okay, that's, you know, not very positive, but let's just calmly think about it. And it's, I'm not saying I can always do this. I still freak out, you know, all the time. But I think I'm a bit better at just trying to have a bit of distance.
I do wonder, again, coming back to your book and this social media theme, you know, we've seen a lot of response in the magazine where if we do something on these kind of topics and anxiety, there's a whole swathe of people out there who really identify with that. And I do wonder, again, if it's this new digital age that we're in that's, you know, just really exacerbated all of these kind of critical self-thoughts.
It's interesting, you know, the sort of that word distance. I don't think anybody has enough distance at the moment from other people, from responding to situations straight away. No one's allowed to just have the evening off and let something kind of gently drift into the past. It's there, it's in your face, and everybody responds straight away. And I don't think that's very healthy. And I think you're right that the social media just exacerbates things that were already there. Mm. Everything's faster, and it's just all pervasive.
Now, interestingly, when we were discussing, maybe talking about oversensitivity, Leanne had to have it explained to her. And I was so jealous of you in that moment where I was explaining, well, sometimes I just really freak out about everything that everybody says in a way that I don't need to. And you were like,
this is so alien to me, honestly.
I need to get in your head.
I think in real life, this does not affect me in the slightest. But online, as in if I get an email, I read the email in a certain way in my head that it might be a more cheerier way, but really I read it in an angry way. That's the only time that I feel like I might get sensitive about things. But that's it.
Never walked away from like coffee with a girlfriend and suddenly thought, wait, the thing I said about the thing.
Yeah.
Was she upset?
No.
Oh.
What did she really mean when she said I looked fine? You know. Yeah. You know, that's sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. What did my boss mean when he said that was good? Did he mean good or did he mean he just wasn't excellent enough to say anything better about it? You know, like,
But if that had been written down in an email, I would have been like, They said good. They said fine. So maybe it's just how I interpret it via email.
Well, of course, you when you're with someone, you have more signals to read,
yes,
don't you? And I think this is another thing with social media is we're humans and we respond to, you know, body language and the look in someone's eye and charisma. And when you're just getting something on a screen, none of that is available to you. So you just have to go on one visual image, which is why we all project these perfect people. And then in an email, we don't have that nice jokey tone or the kind voice that was supposed to go with the message. So we can completely take it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. So when you were writing My Not So Perfect Life, have you come away with any epiphany for the way you're going to live your life from now on? Or are you just as stuck in this social media swamp as the rest of us?
Funnily enough, I really think it did change my outlook.
Right.
I have a more of a perspective on all these social media pictures. I think I don't feel that my life is ever going to be perfect, and I don't want it to be perfect, and it shouldn't. And I'm certainly, this is a message I keep trying to say to my children. And like I say, because I started this Instagram, My Not So Perfect Life, when something goes wrong, it's a good. I actually feel that little rush, buzz, like, oh good, something bad happened that I can post on that page. So, you know what, we should all have this as like the sort of the side drawer.
You're sort of giving your youngest sort of like pots of honey to smear all around the house.
Exactly. But you know what, if we had that as a device, we could all have that buzz of, oh good, the bad thing happened, because I needed that to happen.
So what's this Instagram account called again?
My Not So Perfect Life.
Right, I think I am immediately coming out of this room and following you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sophie Kinsella.
Thank you, it's been
and
fun.
Leanne Bailey.
Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.